Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to welcome you all to our telephone conference for the second quarter results. The first time with us is in this telephone conference is Harald Krüger, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG. First, Mr. Krüger will give you an update on the business performance during the first 6 months of 2015. Dr. Eichinger, our CFO, will then take you through our financial results for the first quarter. Afterwards, we will have time for our Q&A session. Mr. Krüger, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Today, I would like to focus on five main topics. First, the development of markets in our major regions. Second, our balanced global sales and balanced global production. Third, the new models at BMW and MINI. Fourth, our key financials for the first half of the year. And fifth, a first outlook on our strategy process. Before we begin, allow me to express some initial thoughts. There are still numerous challenges for our business development. Repeatedly, the Chinese experience turbulent days on the mainland stock markets. The situation in BRIC markets, such as Russia and Brazil, also remains tense. Furthermore, there are numerous economic and political uncertainties that present a risk to the global economy and also affect the automotive industry. Also, our industry must reduce carbon emissions further in line with regulatory requirements, which means a further large financial investment. Be assured, at the BMW Group, our actions will always be guided by a focus on the long term. And it is always our goal to set the company on the right course for the future. That's why we are constantly adapting. How do we plan to secure our future success? What do our customers need and desire? With which product innovations and services can we differentiate ourselves from the competition? All of these questions are being reviewed in our current strategy process. Let's move on to the first main topic. How did the automobile markets and our company sales develop in the major world regions in the first half of 2015? First, Europe. The trend in new registrations is generally positive. Markets such as Spain, Italy, Portugal, and Ireland even experienced strong growth in the first 6 months. At approximately 44% of all vehicles sold, Europe still remains our largest sales region. With 488,000 vehicles delivered, the BMW grew 9.5% in Europe in the first half of the year. Second, the Americas. In the Americas, our sales also climbed up by 9.5%. In the U.S., we delivered over 242,000 cars, and BMW Group sales grew 9.6%, which was twice the rate of the total U.S. car market. The generally positive mood among our consumers in the United States is reflected in the automotive market. At the same time, competition is becoming even more intense. Many OEMs are currently transferring volume to the U.S., with a corresponding impact on prices. Third, Asia and China. In Asia, we delivered around 337,000 vehicles, an increase of 4.4% year-on-year. In China, however, the development towards normalization of growth has accelerated. As the development is picking up pace, it also affects the exceptionally high growth rates in vehicle sales of the past few years. We always emphasize that this development could be expected, and we anticipated this situation in our planning. In the first 6 months of 2015, we sold over 230,700 cars in China, up 2.3% from the previous year's 6 months figure. China will remain an important market for us with great potential. We are stepping up the number of locally produced BMW models in order to tailor our offering even better to the demands of Chinese customers. Fourth, BRIC countries. In some emerging countries, there is still a strong downward trend in new car sales. This is the case with Brazil and Russia. However, BMW Group sales figures in Brazil have risen for the past 3 years. In Russia, we have declined. All this shows that development in the global automotive markets remains uneven. Clearly, this means there continue to be opportunities, but there are also challenges. And now we come to the second main topic. we continue to follow a strategy of balanced global sales. This allows us to offset temporary market fluctuations. For this, more than ever, we need a globally balanced and a locally strong production network. Our global production network currently consists of 30 production sites in 14 countries. To ensure that our production will continue to be distributed evenly among the major world regions. Europe, with sites in Germany, Great Britain and Austria, as well as contract production in Austria and the Netherlands. Asia, with our plants in Shenyang and Tiexi, in China, as well as our plant in India. And the Americas, with our U.S. site in Spartanburg and our new plant in Brazil. With the expansion of our Spartanburg site, our new plant in Mexico, we are strengthening and expanding our production base in North America. This capacity increase is the prerequisite of future growth, as well as a way to improve our natural hedging. Spartanburg is receiving an investment of $1 billion US dollars between 2014 and 16. By the end of 2016, we will be able to produce over 450,000 vehicles per year at the site. At that point, Spartanburg will be the largest plant in our global production network. The expansion is also a response to the continuing trend towards SUVs. At present, the X lineup counts for almost 1 in 3 BMWs sold. With new models, such as the X7, we are going to expand our offering made in Spartanburg. Our new plant in Mexico is the perfect addition to the U.S. facility. It is scheduled to start production in 2019 with a planned capacity of 150,000 units annually. In San Luis Potosí, we are going to invest $1 billion U.S. dollars over the next few years as well. In doing so, we are stepping up our presence in the NAFTA region. And Mexico, with its numerous bilateral and regional free trade agreements, is a location with a particularly promising future. According to forecasts, the global automotive market is expected to grow in the coming years from about 80 million new registrations in 2014 to more than 90 to almost 100 million units in 2020. We want to participate in this future growth, and our highly flexible global production network provides the foundation for this. Now to our third main topic. Our strong and attractive premium brands are what makes our cars so appealing to customers all around the world. Today, the positioning of the BMW brand is broader and more diversified than ever before. The portfolio ranges from BMW i to the BMW Core brand and BMW M. Our customers demand both sustainable and high-performance models. In the first 6 months of 2015, we sold 12,500 electrically powered BMW i3 and i8 cars. In other words, sales more than doubled compared to the prior year period. In the first half of the year, we also delivered over 30,500 BMW M and performance models to customers. In total, we delivered over 1.099 million BMW Group vehicles to customers in the first half of 2015. Never before has the BMW Group sold so many cars in the first 6 months of a year. The BMW and MINI brands achieved new all-time high. Rolls-Royce posted the second best first 6 months sales to date. BMW remains the number one in the premium segment. BMW Motorrad achieved the best first half of a year on record, with more than 78,400 units sold. For our core brand BMW, 2015 is under the banner of the new BMW 7 Series. The positive feedback of the global media attests to the groundbreaking character of the sixth generation of our 7 Series, as well as to the innovative strengths of the BMW Group. The response from the media underscores the supreme balance of perfect driving experience, connectivity and comfort. This perfect balance is what we consider contemporary luxury. Besides the new 7 Series, our customers have a wide choice of attractive models. The all-new BMW 2 Series Grand Tourer went on sale in June. It is the first BMW in the premium compact class with up to 7 seats. The BMW 3 Series has been at the heart of the brand for 40 years now. The model update of the BMW 3 Series, consisting of the sedan, Touring and M3, came out in late July. Fall will see the market launch of the new BMW X1 with a head-up display and an additional driver assistance system. The second generation of the X1 is based on the UCA front-wheel drive architecture. Another launch in fall will be in the highly efficient BMW X5 xDrive 4.0e. As a first, this sports activity vehicle combines an all-wheel drive with a plug-in hybrid powertrain. It's the first in a forthcoming wide range of plug-in hybrids in BMW model series. The MINI brand currently has a young portfolio. Customers love the MINI three-door and five-door variants. Sales doubled in the first 6 months of 2015 compared with the previous year. Only a few weeks ago, we presented the new MINI Clubman to the media. With its strong, unique character, it is one of the models that will define MINI in the future. Overall, BMW and MINI are launching 15 new models and model revisions this year, almost as many as in 2014, our record launch year. The high demand for our brands is and will remain the cornerstone of our success. Now to the fourth main point, our key financials. Our key financials for the first six months of the current business year are as follows. For the first time, we posted earnings before interest and tax of over 5 billion euros in the first six months of the year. The pre-tax group result reached more than 4.8 billion euros, slightly above the level of the prior year period. The group net profit in the period under report stood at 3.2 billion euros. At 8.9%, the EBIT margin in the automotive segment was within the anticipated profitability range. Therefore, we are on track to achieve our targets for the full year. More specifically, a solid increase in group sales, a solid increase in pre-tax group results, an EBIT margin in the automotive segment in the target range of 8%-10%. Our forecast is based on the assumption that overall market and political conditions in our business environment will not deteriorate. Dr. Eichinger will talk more about our forecast in a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, the decisive question that guides our action is, what kind of company do we want to be in the future, and how do we set the right course? In fall 2007, we adopted our strategy number one, which guides us up to 2020. Since then, many trends have intensified or accelerated dramatically. Above all, digitalization and the associated technical possibilities are set to change the automobile and its fundamental role in our society. The new BMW 7 Series, with its cutting-edge innovations, is the perfect example of this. Digitalization will also change the whole process of industrialization in our sector. The car could be viewed as the largest mobile data storage and will be an essential element of the Internet of Things. Following the technological change towards sustainable mobility, this is the next radical change for our industry. With regard to new technological trends, above all, as new opportunities for the car, our industry, and customers. Based on this, we are currently conducting a comprehensive update of our strategy. At this stage, it is too early to go into further detail. For us, speed is important, but it is more important to look at possible trends and carefully analyze them, both from a qualitative and quantitative point of view. The goal is to align our strategy with future challenges up to the year 2025 and beyond. With Connected Drive, Future Retail, Drive Now, and digital services, we offer customers a wide range of services and connectivity. For a long time now, we have been far more than just a vehicle manufacturer. The acquisition of Nokia's mapping and location service business HERE by the three German premium car companies is a further strategic step. The acquisition is intended to secure the long-term availability of HERE's products and services as an open, independent, and value-creating platform for cloud-based maps and other mobility services. This platform is and will be accessible to all customers from the automotive industry and other sectors. HERE will play a key role in the digital revolution of mobility, combining high-definition maps and data from vehicles to make travel safer and easier for everyone. HERE is laying the foundations for the next generation of mobility and location-based services. For the automotive industry, this is the basis for new assistance systems and ultimately fully autonomous driving. As you can see, we're taking strategic decisions with a long-term perspective. We are aligning our business model to the complex challenges of today and tomorrow. We also continue to invest in the company, in our products and brands, new services, and our production sites worldwide. We will continue to adapt the BMW Group to meet future challenges, and our company will further strengthen its position as a provider of individual mobility in the premium segment. In this area, we also intend to be the leader. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Mr. Krüger. And now Friedrich Eichinger will give you an update on the financials of the BMW Group. Fritz Eichinger, please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon from my side as well. The BMW Group's successful business performance continued in the second quarter of this year, with more than 573,000 vehicles delivered to customers. It was the company's strongest ever second quarter. This 7.5% increase in volumes confirms that the BMW Group has attractive models on the market, and shows the strength of our premium brands and our product lineup. It also affirms our strategy of globally balanced sales growth. BMW Motorrad delivered more than 47,000 motorcycles from April to June, its highest ever quarterly figures. The market development seen in the first 3 months continued. We once again reported solid sales growth in the Americas and Europe. Competition is increasing in the U.S. The strong dollar is creating attractive market conditions. OEMs are allocating units from China and other markets to benefit from the currency effect. There have been increasing signs of more moderate growth in the Chinese auto market for several months now. The market is normalizing faster than originally forecast. The second quarter saw increased competition across the industry, while the volatility of the Chinese stock market has also weakened customer confidence. In recent years, our company has benefited from China's high double-digit growth rates. In 2014, sales were almost 20 times what they had been a decade ago, at 456,000 vehicles. But, as we have stressed for some time now, that kind of dynamic double-digit growth cannot last forever. As one of the leading suppliers in the premium segment in China, we remain confident about medium and long-term economic development in this market. Steady economic growth will lead to increased demand for cars. China's extensive infrastructure and low rate of car ownership, combined with the growth expectation of the premium and brand-conscious Chinese middle class, reinforces our view on the potential of this market. China's short-term development over the coming months is harder to predict. We are currently adjusting production to match the slower growth and reducing retail inventory. With attractive models coming onto the market over the next few months, we expect new sales momentum. We are also implementing a range of measures across the Chinese sales organization to strengthen our profitability and that of our dealers. Worldwide, sales of almost 1.1 million vehicles boosted group revenues for the first 6 months to an all-time high of 44.85 billion, up 17.6% from the same period of last year. Positive currency translation effects from depreciation of the euro against the other main currencies also contributed to this increase. Adjusted for these effects, revenues were 8.1% higher. In the first half of 2015, the BMW Group generated an EBIT of 5.05 billion, thus exceeding the 5 billion euro threshold for the first time in a six-month period. EBIT margin after 6 months was 11.3%. BMW Group pre-tax earnings for the first half year were on par with last year at 4.85 billion. Group pre-tax earnings for the second quarter totaled 2.58 billion. This is slightly lower than the record high of last year's extremely strong second quarter. At group level, the EBT margin for both the second quarter and first 6 months stood at 10.8%. The BMW Group remains focused on its strategic targets, You are investing in your products as planned and strengthening the company's future success. The BMW Group invested a total of almost 2.21 billion in products and equipment in the first half year. This is a decrease of 14.4% over the previous year. Investment focused on the new 7 Series, recently launched revised 3 Series, the 2 Series Grand Tourer, and the X1 and MINI Clubman for release in October. With significantly higher revenues, the CapEx ratio for the first half year stood at 4.9%. Due to the large number of projects, we expect investment for the full year 2015 to remain at the same high level as last year. A CapEx ratio of below 7% of revenue is our benchmark. This ensures our future competitiveness. Research and development spending for the first half of 2015 totaled 2.1 billion, an increase of 2.7% year-on-year. Research and development focused on alternative drive concepts and measures to reduce CO2 emissions. At the same time, we strengthened our digital services and connectivity activities. We also invested in vehicle architectures for small model series with front-wheel drive and larger rear-wheel drive models. Our R&D activities strengthened the company's competitive position. The R&D ratio was only 4.7% in the first half year and was also affected by currency translation effects on revenues. For the full year 2015, the company is aiming for a ratio within its target range of 5%-5.5% of revenue. We expect capital expenditure and R&D spending to be higher in the second half of the year due to the new models. BMW Group liquidity stood at 11.3 billion at the end of June. This solid liquidity position enhances our financial flexibility. Let's take a look at earnings performance in the individual segments. Positive sales development in the automotive segment led to higher revenues of 40.54 billion in the first half year, an increase of 15.6% year-on-year. Revenue rose faster than sales, due in part to currency translation effects. Adjusted for these effects, revenues for the first half year increased by just 5.7%. Automotive EBIT for the first half year totaled 3.61 billion. This represents a slight decrease of 3.4% over the previous year. EBIT for the three-month period stood at 1.82 billion euros and was therefore 15.8% lower year-on-year. As already mentioned, the second quarter of 2014 is an exceptionally strong basis for comparison due to a more favorable vehicle mix, improved pricing, and lower personnel cost. EBIT margin for the segment stood at 8.9% after 6 months and therefore within our target range of 8%-10%. Higher revenues due to currency effects also impacted this ratio. I would like to discuss the factors influencing the second quarter of 2015 in a little more detail. The vehicle mix shifted towards small and compact vehicles in the second quarter. The BMW brand share of sales was 2 percentage points lower in the second quarter of 2015 than in the same quarter of 2014. With more than 91,600 deliveries, the MINI brand reported its best ever second quarter sales. BMW also made the largest gains with its compact models, such as the 2 Series Active Tourer, the 4 Series, and the new X4. Pricing remained below expectations in the second quarter, with a corresponding impact on earnings. In the Chinese market, premium car companies have repriced their models. Consumers increasingly expect incentives. As already mentioned, there's a growing trend towards incentives in the U.S. market as well. Within Europe, sales growth mainly came from our compact models in southern and western European markets. In these regions, the encouraging recovery trend continues. BMW Group is expanding its global production network and strengthening its core development competencies. The company is also enhancing its IT expertise, especially in future technologies such as digital services. As a result, the workforce increased by 6.2% to 119,489 employees as of the end of June. The BMW Group therefore reported higher personnel costs for the six-month period. In Germany, where just over 70% of staff are employed, a collective bargaining agreement on pay increase of 3.4% took effect on the 1st of April 2015. Exchange rate changes had a positive impact on earnings in the low three-digit million area in the second quarter. We expect this currency tailwind to continue throughout 2015. The company is hedged for the most part in the main currencies. We have also taken steps to hedge our currency exposure for subsequent years at attractive rates. Sales and administrative costs were higher in the first half of 2015 than for the same period of last year. This was due to higher personnel costs as well as increased expenditure for IT projects and market launch costs for the new models I mentioned before. Our Chinese joint venture, BBA, made a smaller contribution to the automotive segment's financial result than last year. In addition to market normalization, ramp-up costs for new vehicles and capacity expansion dampened BBA's earnings contribution. Our Chinese joint venture is currently preparing to launch new models and drive technologies and is investing in construction of a new engine plant. The cut-off date valuation of financial derivatives also had a negative impact on the segment's financial result. I would now like to say a few words about the financial situation in the automotive segment. Free cash flow increased substantially as we actively reduced inventories in the second quarter, reaching 2.56 billion as per the 30th of June. We are maintaining our target of more than 3 billion for the full year 2015. At the end of the second quarter, net financial assets in automotive segment totaled 13.6 billion. That brings me to the financial services segment. The business area continues on its successful course with the international expansion of its business. In the first half of the year, the segment concluded more than 801,000 new leasing and financing contracts with retail customers, 10% more than in the first half of last year. The volume of new business climbed 26.3% to 24.63 billion as per the end of June 2015. Adjusted for currency translation effects, the volume of new businesses was up 15.3%. All the first 6 months, the total portfolio increased by 6.6% year on year to 4.15 million contracts, due in particular to growth in the Asia-Pacific region, where the total number of contracts climbed 19.2%. In the Americas and Europe, Africa, Middle East regions, financial services also reported solid growth in customer financing. The segment's penetration rate, the percentage of new vehicles financed or leased by financial services, stood at 45.1% for the first 6 months of the year. This increase of 4.2 percentage points over the previous year mainly stems from growth in its retail loan business. Demand for financial services products, both leasing and financing, remains strong in all regions of the world. BMW Group Financial Services continues to strive for profitable growth with a good balance between leasing and financing. Dynamic growth in the first half year boosted pre-tax earnings in the financial services segment by 16.6% to 1.06 billion. Business profit is currently benefiting from attractive financing conditions and a healthy risk situation, as well as from currency translation effects on earnings outside of Europe. The risk situation remains stable, with pricing on the international used car markets and credit risk on a par with last year. The credit loss ratio for the entire portfolio is low at 0.34%, which is below last year's figure. We are making appropriate risk provisions and taking a comprehensive, proactive approach to risk management. On this basis, we expect residual values and credit risk to remain stable throughout the second half of the year. This should support continued positive business development in the financial services segment. Let us finish with a look at the motorcycle segment. BMW Motorrad is maintaining its successful course with record sales, revenues and earnings. Realignment of the segment and targeted expansion of its lineup are yielding positive results. In the first half of 2015, BMW Motorrad sales rose 10.5% to more than 78,000 motorcycles. The brand reported significant gains in its home region of Europe, which accounts for almost two-thirds of deliveries. In the Chinese market, BMW Motorrad has seen dynamic growth since its market entry last year. Revenues for the first 6 months reached 1.19 billion, a significant increase of 18.9% over the previous year, due in part to currency tailwinds. EBIT for the same period almost doubled to 227 million. This highly seasonal business also benefited from a positive model mix and currency effect, as well as higher sales volumes. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to talk about our outlook for the second half of the year. We expect the BMW Group to continue its successful course with new all-time highs for sales, revenues and earnings, assuming that conditions remain mostly stable over the coming months. In expectation of continued positive business development, we confirm our targets for 2015. A solid increase in group earnings before tax. A solid increase in sales with significantly higher revenues in the automotive segment and an EBIT margin between 8 and 10%. A solid increase in sales of BMW Motorrad in financial services, return on equity on par with last year and therefore above our target of at least 18%. Depending on how political and economic conditions develop, actual business performance may deviate from our current forecast. Capital expenditure, development and personal cost will have a greater impact in the second half of the year. Also, we cannot rule out the possibility of increased challenges in the Chinese market impacting our outlook. Ladies and gentlemen, the BMW Group has set itself the target of sustainable growth and strong profitability and is constantly enhancing its competitiveness to achieve this. We are using our financial strengths to make targeted investments, to adjust our business to changing regulatory conditions, and to develop new business areas. The company remains flexible in the face of economic volatility and long-term changes in our environment. With our clear strategic alignment, we will remain on track for success in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fritz Eichinger. Ladies and gentlemen, the line will shortly be open for questions. Please wait for some technical advice.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't already and you want to ask a question, could you please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now in order to enter the queue, and then after I announce you, just ask your question, and if you find that question has been answered before it's your turn to speak, just press 0 and then 2 to cancel, and there'll be a brief pause while questions are being registered. Our first question is from the line of Christina Church at Barclays. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Thank you very much, Christina Church here. I have a question on pricing. In China in particular, but also in the rest of the world, you said on the press call this morning that incentives have got higher in China. Have you been seeing increased pressure in the last month, or has it been an ongoing steady state of increase? And then my other question regarding pricing in the rest of the world, particularly Europe, are you seeing the recovery in Southern Europe driving some improved pricing there? And then my final question relates to FX. Just wondering how far ahead you are hedged on FX now, whether you've still got a policy of sort of 2 years ahead or whether you're doing any more longer-term hedging. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christina. So I think we start with Mr. Eichinger. Please, Fritz.
So, hello, Christina. So your first question about China. So basically, we still feel that there is pressure on pricing. From our perspective, the development has slowed down a bit, but has not reached the final point. And that's what we're experiencing so far in the China development. In other markets, as I mentioned, U.S., because of the exchange rate gains, there is more pressure on pricing. There's a bit more sales support involved, but so far not alarming yet. And in Europe, we see improvement on pricing. So with the recovery of the markets in Europe, we gain some pricing power back. Overall, worldwide, it's a burden for us that was not expected in the first half of this year, and we expect for the whole year or some headwinds in between 15 or let's say 100 basis points. That's what our expectation is today. Now, FX, clearly we have a strong position not only for this year but also for next year and even for 2017, there are covers already in place.
Thank you very much. You. Next question, please.
Our next question is from the line of Tim Rokossa of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead with your question. Your line is now open.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking my questions. There would be two, please. The first one is you underproduced and slightly reduced inventories in Q2 despite being ahead of the summer break. And just looking at your model lineup, how shall we think about growth and mix from here? You obviously spoke about this.
Sorry, can you speak not so fast?
Yeah, no problem.
The connection is not very good. Okay.
Okay, can you hear me?
Start again.
Can you hear me well?
Yes, yeah. Start again, please.
I hear myself as well on the line. So you slightly underproduced in Q2, reduced your inventories despite being ahead of the summer break. Just looking at your model lineup, how shall we think about growth and mix from here? You obviously spoke about the 7 series in the X1, for example, but it appears most of that is rather back-end loaded, and the mix, at least until the final quarter, remains rather screwed towards compact models. Is it fair to assume that we don't see much of an improvement in growth and mix before end? And if so, how does that go down with the outlook of a solid EBT increase? Given that you still have some ramp-up costs as well, probably in the second half. Secondly, just to clarify, sorry, but on China, you were certainly very early in warning about a slowdown, although probably not at this pace. In your outlook statement, you're now mentioning that a further deterioration could obviously be negative for your outlook, but in the press call this morning, you were quoted saying that you see growth in H2 and a stabilization at least in the equity income line. Can you really just help us understand what your current views on China are? Not in the long term, but really just in the coming quarters, and most importantly, what your confidence on this outlook is and the visibility on the market right now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Tim. We start with Harald Krüger and then Fritz Eichinger. Harald.
The first question was on the model lineup for the second half. I mean, we will have a positive momentum because the new X1 will come to the dealers by the end of October, which will help us in Europe and worldwide. The second one, the new 7 Series, will come to the dealers by the end of October as well, which is an important product for us. Also, the Mini Clubman will come to the dealers. So we will have three new products, as well as the new facelifted 3 Series sedan will also come to the markets. So we will see a product momentum, which we expect in the second half of 2015. Secondly, China. China overall we see on the long term and mid term as a positive market, definitely with future growth opportunities. That's why we have decided in the past also to extend our local production from 3 to 6 models in China. So with that, models coming to the markets and beginning, starting in 2016 and 17, we will see also some growth in China in the future.
And that is also true for the coming quarters.
Let me pick up the question and give you a few on how we see the second half of the year. Basically, we have to see that we are in a transition period because major models that are very relevant for the Chinese market are changing over. So, for example, 7 Series, which is on the import side, a very important model, will come in late in a year, and we have the run out of the old model. Same point in time, we have the launch of the facelifted 3 Series, which is a volume model within our local production. So those are the changes that are coming. And we have to manage the run out in a situation where the market is weakening. So things are coming together, let's say, on negative side in the first half of the year. And our view is that we could gain more momentum in the second half of the year as soon as the new models will be launched and will contribute to sales. So that's how we look at it, but we cannot rule out that the situation in China is worsening even more than we have assumed so far. So basically, our assumption is that it should be possible now with the momentum coming in on the product side to stabilize now going forward our China business. That's the underlying assumption for our guidance. And if this is strongly deteriorating further, then it definitely would be an issue. That's what I have to admit.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Next question, please.
We're now over to Mark Ton of Warburg Research. Please go ahead with your question. Your line is now open.
Yes, good afternoon. Coming back to China, perhaps, going to dealer support, which you agreed upon, can you perhaps tell us on how much this was burdening the operating result and whether there had been anything in the at equity result as well? And what your view on this is on the second half of the year, on what that may take as another burden. The second question would be, you said that pricing developed much weaker than we had expected, but you are confirming your guidance for the full year. Is there anything which you could do to offset the weaker than expected pricing development so far?
Okay, thank you very much, Mark. Mr. Eichiner.
First of all, yes, that's true. We had some dealer compensation in the first half of the year, and that came in on a BBA side as well as on the import side. So that's part of our result so far. I think we had a big dealer conference in China. We have not only compensated for what happened very quickly for the, and was a surprise for the dealer as well. We have now rebalanced our business in China in order of the channel out direction we want to go. We strengthened the pipeline. We've taken out the pressure on the inventory side. All that stuff we did should support the dealers to get back to profitability. And we made absolutely clear that we now think that we are back in a normal business environment and that further support spendings are not necessary from this point on going forward. So that's the position what we have. In a nutshell, I think we cleaned it up now, and we hope that's enough. And we are looking forward to a more normal business that should be supported with the new models coming in the second half of the year. So your question about pricing, of course, we are working on pricing. So working on the mix, we are working on option pickup, we're working on cost, we're working in several areas to counteract negative pricing development in certain markets.
Thank you very much. Next question, please.
We are now over to the line of Arndt Ellinghorst of Avcor ISI. Please go ahead with your question. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon, everyone. I have two questions for Mr. Krüger, please. Firstly, on the BMW i strategy. A couple of years ago, BMW spent a lot of time and effort to convince the investment community that there's a great and exciting business model, manufacturing efficiencies, electric mobility concepts and business models. And, you've invested all the money now, and now you've turned pretty quiet, it seems. And I think many of your investors wonder why it takes you so long to come up with another product, which, if I read your comments correctly, that you've made so far, could take another 2 to 3 years from here. So could you talk a little bit about your view on BMW i and whether it's a wrong perception here that you're turning a bit more quiet and it's just taking all much longer than at least we previously thought? And secondly, Herr Krüger, quickly on the digital business model, which you refer to quite often, and not just yourself, but others as well. So what is the risk that this is just another excuse for the industry overall and yourself to spend billions of shareholder funds on something that no one knows how to make money with? In your thinking of this evolving business model, do you really believe BMW can maintain the current level of profitability in light of huge powertrain expenditure in the coming years, moving to electric mobility, and on top of all of that, pretty much a trial run to defend your business model from competition from the likes of Google, Apple, and so forth? So the question here really is, how can you turn this into a profitable business model? Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much, Mr. Krüger.
Okay, I will start with the BMW i strategy. First of all, I think, as I mentioned before, we sold 12,500 BMW i's in the first half of 2015. And in June, by itself, it was more than 2,000, which is a 65% increase compared to the previous year. With the BMW i3, we already immediately became the third highest selling electric vehicle worldwide. And as we always said, the BMW i is something which we need to look at the long term. Because as you know, that all across the globe, especially in Europe, the CO2 regulations in the future for 2020 are that tough that without electrification, without electric drivetrains, you will have no chance to meet those regulations. So it was also helping us in the company, for example, to drive future electric drivetrains. Like we are now launching the X5 with a plug-in hybrid. The i8 is a plug-in hybrid, so we are benefiting from the knowledge we have developed with the i3 and i8. That's on the BMW i. But as mentioned before, it's a long-term story, and it will be a change in our industry definitely in the future. Secondly, was on what do we do with digitalization? Is that just costing more? And how can we make a profitable business out of that? First of all, our industry is definitely changing significantly in that area. Why is digitalization a chance and also a must and an opportunity? If you look at what we did with here and the acquisition which we did with the three premium brands, here is giving us in the future the advantage to have good cloud maps, which is absolutely important for autonomous driving in the future, which is absolutely important for safer driving. The more the better the map is, the better the car knows it, the better the quality will be of driving in the future. So that is a strategic opportunity and a must in the future, in my view. Also, digitalization gives you the chance, and it's not just on the maps, it's also in other areas like future retail and other things which are important, where you can do online marketing, online selling, so that definitely would change our industry. I'm personally convinced on this one. And it gives us opportunities. If you think about just about online selling of vehicles, the transaction costs of those ones can be cheaper than just selling them all through the dealers. So that is just one opportunity, but we are currently in the phase of exploring this one more in detail.
Yeah, if I just may say, those two explanations are both fairly defensive. On the BMW i, you're basically telling us it is to meet fuel efficiency standards. On the digitalization, it's, you know, you're reacting to something that's happening in the market. Again, I mean, how will your shareholders in future benefit from a better BMW business model?
I think, as I mentioned in my speech, we are currently in the middle of the process of the strategy assessment for 2015, and look around and look at the trends and what does it mean. And some more answers on this one. I need some more time to do it thoroughly and more in detail, and that will take some more time.
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you.
We're now over to the line of Charles Winston at Redburn Partners. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. Charles at Redburn. Three quick ones for me, if you don't mind. Firstly, I imagine you must have an idea, and I'm sorry for being so short-termist, but you must have an idea about sort of the performance of China in July, clearly been quite a debating point in the market. I wonder if you could give us a little bit of color on that. Secondly, the impact of mix and sales mix and product mix. My understanding is that was one of the quite an adverse impact, particularly in this 2Q result, and I was wondering if you could perhaps give us your thoughts as to how that might develop in the year. Could it be that by the fourth quarter the impact from mix could be virtually zero, or is that a bit optimistic? And then finally, you talked about hopefully reaching a point where the dealer support spending into China should be, you know, we shouldn't require any more. Clearly there was quite a big dealer support payment made in the fourth quarter last year. Should we interpret that actually there could be a profit tailwind in the fourth quarter of this year as that dealer support payment is not repeated? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Charles. So we start very briefly with Harald and then Fritz Eichiner. Harald, please.
The question was on the sales side in China in July. Maybe just starting with the quarter one and quarter two. This premium segment in the quarter one was growing around about on the average of 7.5%. Quarter two was already 3%. So you saw month by month a declining premium segment in China. And July will definitely not be out of the range in terms of, I think July will be on that trend curve.
Thank you. Harald, Fritz, please.
Well, first about the mix, your question about the mix development. Basically, as we said already, this year is a mini year. So Mini is growing heavily. So we have the ramp up of many new models, double-digit growth, whilst BMW is in a situation where so far the development is much slower than on the Mini side. And having said that, within the BMW volume, we are launching more compact vehicles at that point in time. That means that if you look at the year as a total, because of this, of those dynamics in our portfolio, this year basically will be a bit weaker than 2014. But having said this, at the end of the year, I think then we will see a change, and this change is heavily important for the year 2016, because then, of course, cars like in new 7 Series will play a significant role going forward. So that's a point in time now where our portfolio is in a certain position, and this is reflected in the mix numbers.
It's Harald again, just to add to information, July worldwide is looking like that we will have an all-time high in the group for July, but it will be in lower one-digit growth numbers.
Good. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Next question, please.
We now go over to Horst Schneider at HSBC. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, thanks. That's all Schneider from HSBC. First of all, again, a question on pricing. Maybe you can quantify what was the level of pricing in Q1 and in Q2, I mean, in with regard to price changes. I mean, you say it's 50 to 100 basis points on a full year basis. So where is the run rate now? That's something I want to know. And then beginning of your speech, Mr. Krüger, you elaborated on capacity growth. Maybe you can tell us where your global capacity utilization is right now. And maybe you can update us what is the current level of capacity in China and what is the prospective growth for 2015 and 16. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we start with Fritz and then Harald.
So overall, Horst, I think pricing in the first two quarters was at the same level as we guided for the whole of the year. So we lost between 15 and 100 basis points.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. On the capacity, I would like to start maybe with what I mentioned first, the NAFTA region. We will expand Plant Spartanburg to 450,000 units by the end of 2016. We have last year opened a new factory in Brazil with 30,000 units, and we will have the plant in Mexico opening 2019 with 150,000 units a year. So the NAFTA region is around about 600,000 units plus Brazil, first one side of the medal. We also have increased the capacity in China from 300,000 to 400,000 units. And as Fritz Eichinger mentioned, we are also building a new engine plant in China, which is part of the investments we have in our joint venture. So that is also coming. Overall, the question was about the capacity utilization, and the capacity utilization measured by the Harvard methodology, which we use, is more than 125%. That's one of the reasons why I said we need to invest into future production expansion also, that we can have more opportunities for growth in the future in those regions where are our main markets, because we follow one strategy, which is clearly production follows markets.
The 125% is global, including China or excluding China? And then also follow up on China. So your utilization there at the moment is just at 70%, and you want to grow into the additional capacity with the new models in the next 2 years. Is that correct?
No, this is the worldwide average, the number I gave you.
Okay, and China is at the moment just 70% utilized then, right? Since the new models will be added.
Fritz, yes.
No, that's not the case, that we have don't have a big capacity there that's utilized by 70%, because we are increasing capacity only with the introduction of new models. So with the next introduction of a new model, then the capacity will be increased. That's the way we're doing it, and that is always assuring that we are running almost higher than 100% capacity utilization, and that's still the case in China as well. Right. So, but the possibility we have with the structure in place is that with the models to come, we are able to increase capacities in Datong and Tianxi.
Yeah. And to add to this one, you need 2 to 3 years prior to your capacity decisions. You need to take the first steps. Yeah. And as we localizing 6 models now in the future from 3 to 6, as I mentioned, you need to start 2 and 3 years ahead. Otherwise, the capacity is not ready.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
So, thank you very much. Next question, please.
We're now over to the line of Fraser Hill at Bank of America. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. It's Fraser Hill. Just wanted to come back to the auto division and looking at the other cost changes in that division. I think you've been guiding that roughly to a high triple-digit million step up for 2015. And I know that's tied into your emission-related and technology-related costs. So is that guidance still roughly right for 2015? And could you give us a little bit of color as to what the step-up was in Q2? Or are those cost factors accelerating due to the reasons that you outlined earlier in your speeches? I guess tied into that, when you look at your guidance in terms of the margin growth, 8 to 10% margins for the auto division, do you expect to be in that range in the second half of this year? Or given the pricing mix, cost headwinds that we've seen, do you think we could actually be dipping below that range into the second half of 2015? And then finally, just on your China volumes for this year, you know, you've been clear about the deceleration that we're seeing in the market. Just specifically, what do you expect for your own volumes this year, for BMW's volumes in China? And I guess your confidence on the lack of further dealer top-ups is a function of, in your mind, a realistic level of growth now being agreed on both sides of the equation. So what is that expectation on growth on your part? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Fraser. Mr. Aichina, please.
Basically, our guidance for the cost changes is still valid. I think we have to face a burden for the whole year of a mid to high triple-digit million euro amount. It's related to future costs in R&D. It's also related to costs for HR activities. Wages increased, especially in Germany, and we have to introduce new models, and marketing costs are coming along with that. So those are basically major drivers of cost increases going forward. And that's valid for the whole year as well as for the specific quarters. No question about the 8 to 10%. We still expect to be in that range. That's still that is still our target going forward. Of course, we cannot rule out that the one or other quarter, because of unforeseen incidences, is heavily under pressure. But we still think today that our guidance stands for 8 to 10% for the year 2015. And your question about volumes in China, basically we are expecting a growth in China for the whole full year. It will be slightly up, so it will be definitely not in a double-digit range.
Thank you very much. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are on time, but we have time for one more question. Please, last question comes from...
Our last question comes from the line of Stuart Pearson at Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, thank you. Just one last question, just following on, I guess, from Fraser's question. I mean, obviously, this key expectation about the 8 to 10% margin range, and you know, clearly, I wonder if you could just talk about how you see that range, whether that's something that you know, I guess will be addressed as part of your strategic review when we look into the years for 2016 and beyond. Is that the way you think your target margins going forward? Should we think about a widening of that range? And I guess coming to the nearer term in H2, normally there's some seasonality. around this. H2 is normally less than H1, at least the last few years. Is there any reason why that will be different this year, or H2 be a little bit better, or should we expect similar seasonality to last year's, i.e. H2 less than H1? Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Aichina?
Basically, I think you shouldn't speculate what the strategy will bring going forward. We first have to finalize, and then we come back to your guys and tell you what the targets are. You can confirm, or we have different ones. It's too early, and I ask for your understanding. Now, looking at the seasonality, clearly, as you know, we always have more CapEx and more spending, especially on the R&D side in the second half of the year. And we have the 7 Series introduction ahead of us, which will definitely drive launch costs and things like that as well in the second half. So that's one part of the story. On the other hand, we are gaining some momentum back, as I said, with the introduction of new models. So I would say it will be a similar picture than last year, not much different. That's what we are expecting from the distribution over the quarters. Having said that, there's one difference, and I mentioned it already. The second quarter 2015 was shaped in a different way, because in the second quarter 2014 we still had a very booming market in China, and we had positive elements that are not in place now in 2015.
Thank you very much, Mr. Aichina. Thank you very much, Mr. Krüger. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. We wish you a wonderful holidays, and we look forward to seeing you on the Frankfurt Motor Show. Thank you very much, and bye-bye.